Not of actual malice and setting up a world which is so ready to devour its children. I would say that that is quite a frequent perception of God. People are ready to think that God is a careless God or a ham-fisted creator because so many people die of the world, so to speak. Life is so fragile. And looked at from a human perspective, it is possible to criticize God. And the scripture is very clear in saying, so much the worse for human perspective. Because hidden behind that way of thinking is a world which belongs to human beings and is to be judged by human beings, instead of a world which belongs to God and which has God for its judge. The one thing we can be quite certain of from all of this is that we are not going to be able to predict our own judgment. And however carefully we lay our plans, our eventual quality is not to be judged by our sense of what is right or good or beautiful. And that means that much of the way in which our century thinks is going to get in between us and our real religion. Perhaps this century, more than any other, has been the century of the self-made person. We consult our canons of taste. We have unusually wide control over what we have, what we eat, what we look like, what we do, where we go, where we live, how we live. We can treat our whole lives as a kind of work of art, and insofar as we are clever enough to become rich, we can largely dictate the form that they have. And people take for granted that living a good life means living one that I personally approve of and which makes me personally happy. And even quite high moral questions like justice and fairness and the degree to which we are going to love our neighbour comes to be reduced to aesthetics. How little can I get away with? How much do I need to do before I feel good about myself? And so on. All of this is very, very far from the lessons the scripture gives us today. Where what is right and what is demanded of us has only one sanction, that it comes from God. I am the Lord. Do as I say, I am the Lord. And that personal obedience and obsequy towards the mind of God which has been made known to us does not seek or need to explain itself further. In the Gospel, we're given something far more disturbing, a salutary picture of a judgment which will be passed beyond our own comprehension. Both the just and the unjust say, but when did we take this test? When did we pass it or fail it? It happened behind our backs and we did not see it. Deeply disturbing to think that the Lord may come to us and go unrecognized, and more to the point, unfed, unclothed, unwelcomed, uncared for, because obsessed with our own agenda, that he is able to enter and to leave our lives without our knowledge. And I don't think it is any use trying to construct a verbal-approved system of surveillance to make sure that this doesn't happen to us. The Lord will come like a thief in the night. But in this analysis, there is no real way in which we can be sure of being able to notice. All that we can do is to be alert to our duty, to be there to feed and to give drink, to visit the sick, to be for the prisoner, and to welcome the stranger, to clothe the one who is naked. And for all of us, that must mean a tremendous change of heart. We do these things when we judge that it will be good or right. It seems that the Lord will ask us to do it always. As long as you neglected to do it to even the least in your eyes, you neglected to me.
Oh, yeah.